mentality where it's like, I can kill whoever I want because it does, or if a man insults me, that's like a lot, like, you know, we have such a weird way of handling things. Not weird, I guess weird by their standards, where it's like, you insulted me, I demand redress, let's talk this out. Whereas then it's like, you insulted me, let's fucking duel. One of us is going to die tonight.
I don't, here's the thing, I've been thinking about this a lot because of the shit I'm reading. I don't think that that's, I don't think they're crazy. I think they just all have PTSD.
Mm.
And they're not, and nobody's taught, like, because they're just that taking shit something. To extremes. Like, yeah. They're just all a bunch of war veterans.
Uh-huh.
Who, like, when they feel in any threat, they just automatically just like, I'm going to shoot this guy because I don't know if you're going to shoot me because I never got over Chickamauga.
I saw so many men die in Chickamauga, yeah. All right? Yeah. I saw a man have to eat off his own hand to escape the shackles. Like, it was crazy, man.
I saw a 17-year-old boy named Timothy crawl half of his body for 100 yards. And I just still think about that. So every time you, like, bump me when we're like playing poker, I now am I have no other skills because I joined the army when I was 18 or 16 and killed for 4 years, and now only skill I have is murdering men.
Just murdering people.
Yeah,
and so, I have to make a career out of this, so I gotta eat something, you know.
Yeah, and it pays a lot because guess what, there's no law out here.
Nope.
Except for like people, like I think it's weird. Like people be like, oh man, you don't trust like sheriffs or like you don't trust police. Like, have you not read history?
They were they were like hired thugs before they were anything else. You know, just a long tradition of mercurial behavior resting on the foundation.
Yeah, they like we need a man of your certain type of skills in our county. To carry out the displacement of Mexican families in our county.
I know, like, just the guy.
Yeah. Because we both killed people together, and now I'm a judge. That's how you start climbing the ranks.
That's how you do it, man. Just move from
county to county, displacing brown people.
And getting all that money. And then you buy yourself a big-ass ranch out somewhere where nobody can touch, where nobody can find you after you've displaced enough people and sucked out of all the money out of the economies and lined your own pockets with it. Then you go out, you buy a big ass ranch, you start making your own cattle and making your own jams.
Yeah. No, there's always jams. What do you think? Like, there's always jams. That's the poor man's version of sweet. You're going to bake a cake.
It's nice.
You're going to bake a cake when you've murdered 16 men. That's too much effort. You're going to make a jam. You're going to spread over a nice piece of toast in the morning before you go out and murder a man. Like, before
you sell it at the fairs, you know, county fair. Here's my jam.
Yeah, like there's this guys in Arizona and fucking, and what's it, Chihuahua. The John Joel Glanton, with his Glanton gang of Apache scalp hunters who just went around murder, just taking scalps, and then when they ran out of Apaches to start taking scalps from, they just started taking Mexican scalps.
Okay.
Because they figured out, and this is like some sick genius shit, being like, can't really tell the difference between scalps.
scalps, man.
Yeah. So like, yeah. And you think that guy didn't have PTSD? You think those guys just didn't? They didn't have PTSD? And
no, I think that's a good argument to make, because if you didn't. Serve in the war, you grew up during it, and you like saw some shit, and it's like war's probably not good for childhood. I don't have any formal degree in this sort of shit, but I'm just gonna go out on a limb and be like, it probably is not the ideal circumstance to be raising children.
No, I'm just gonna also say it's not an excuse for anything they did. No, it's still all very fucked up, very wrong, and psychopathic and genocidal. But also, like, is you're a kid, you grew up on the Western frontier. And you got, especially like Gorba, Texas, or like New Mexico, like you got to worry about Comanches and it's not like a stable place. It's not a mind state that you just want to grow up in.
Mm-mm.
Like, oh, I got to worry about getting scalped all day long. And that's like a light punishment. That's like a light.
It's always there. Like disease. And also it's a very violent, place.
It's just a death Deathfield.
Deathfield. And maybe nobody epitomized this violence better than Billy the Kid, right?
I don't know if I want to put him through like he was the worst guy. Was he the worst guy? Like, how do you feel about Billy?
I don't think he would. Not a good guy, but not the worst, which is not a bad place to be, I guess.
I wouldn't say epitomized. I would say nobody. There are very few more recognizable names.
Oh yeah, he's
in the category
like
of violence.
So dominant. He casts such a large shadow over the West. But as we're gonna come to find out, a lot of that shadow is fabricated to an extent. So late 1859, Henry McCarty is born in Manhattan. Robert Utley, the author of the book that I'm using as a source, Billy the Kid, Short and Violent Life, I think 1989. He says that he suspects Henry McCarty was born in like the Irish slums of Manhattan. Mm-hmm. Early on, they moved to Wichita, then they moved to Denver, and then they finally end up settling in Santa Fe. Henry Antrim pops up in the historical record in March of 1873. He's like 13 or 14, and he signs a document as a witness to his mother's marriage. His mother is Catherine McCarty, and his stepfather is this guy, William Henry Harrison Antrim. And so Henry McCarty ends up taking his stepfather's name of Antrim. He's known as Henry Antrim for a while.
That's a weird thing. I don't know if I had a stepdad, I would like to take their name.
Yeah, that's kind of, I don't want it. That's
hey,
not
bro.
Me, you know?
Hey, bro, I was here before you.
Uh-huh.
You're coming to my family.
Yes.
I appreciate you.
This is my house.
You can take my mom, but I'm not taking your name.
I'm not taking your name also. It's kind of a weird, especially when you're like 13 or 14 and you're rebelling against everything.
You're trying to give me your letter dick. I don't want your letter dick.
I don't want it, man.
That's what last names are. They're just letter dicks.
Letter dicks?
Yeah, you give when you marry a woman, you give her your letter dick, which is now she has to take your last name.
She doesn't have to. What world are you living in?
She didn't have to. That's look, hyphenates. We both give each other letter dicks.
Ah, we create a spawn of both of our combined last names to make this. This
little letter
child,
dick,
right?
Little letter vagina.
Mm-hmm.
You know
that's
I mean?
Right. That's right.
And
you
then
create,
that's how,
you create a dynasty. That's what you mm-hmm. do.
Do you? Okay, that's weird.
You try.
Right. We're going to keep moving on. I don't want to get into your dynasties.
September of 1874, Henry Antrim's mother, Catherine McCarty, dies of tuberculosis, and he goes to live with this guy, Richard King. I think he's a rancher. This is all in New Mexico still. And just some biographical facts about Henry. What's going on in the background of all of this? He likes to read, according to his childhood. During his childhood, he likes to read. He loves music and he loves dancing, and he knows like all of the local dances and everything. He likes to play with guns. That's what he's doing in his spare time, is just doing gun tricks and shit and spinning them around and all that shit. He likes to dance, like I said, and he likes Latinas.
Okay.
That is an established biographical fact about him, is that whenever he could go to the bailes and stuff, whenever he was on the run and hopping over towns and stuff and gambling and shit, he was very popular with Mexican women.
He was at the Fandangos, just doing a quick bachata.
That's right. That's right. With the sombrero and the little clap.
I've never been to a Fandango, so I don't know.
You do the clap.
I don't think you have either. So I would.
I haven't, but I'm just assuming there's some of the.
It's a weird time
action,
to
you know.
It's an interesting time to grow up in, because it's like, yo, I can go outside and like literally become part of this like this kind of world. That is kind of fawned over across the world, the Wild West. I can just go outside. Mm-hmm. It's a weird place to go. Like, I don't know about that. Like if it growing up in Houston, it was like, oh, I can go outside and go into Houston, but like, unless I want to like explore the strip club world.
Mm-hmm. What am I gonna do here?
What am I gonna do? That's the only thing I knew. Like, there are other things going on, but like. Like, this is the Wild West, and, like, to grow up in that romanticism.
Yeah, I doubt anybody's going to romanticize 2010s Houston.
They actually do that. Well, okay, let me introduce you to a little guy called Drake.
Okay.
And all those songs.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, a lot of
I mean, as internationally as the West is, no, but maybe
he's a huge star.
Okay, well, like, fuck me then.
Yeah, no, Megan Thee Stallion. Well, yeah, she's a fucking Beyonce.
Okay, we're actually you're right. Place. I'm talking but about white girls. Those are the artists. That's not the environment.
Yeah, nobody really is like though. Drake talks a lot about the strip clubs, okay, and a lot about being here. Travis Scott, they talk about it, but like I didn't know. Like when I was in 2007, like after Chamillionaire was popular, mm-hmm, like and there was just not a lot going on.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know what I mean?
It's such a big city for how little.
there's a weird, once you get out there and you start getting your feelers out, you're like, oh, there is a lot going on, but this is all very sketchy.
Yeah. First offense that Henry Antrim is caught for, he's caught stealing several pounds of butter from a rancher. Now, the second offense occurs September of 75. Stealing clothes from a laundromat. For this, he is imprisoned, but he escapes from his cell by shimmying up the chimney. And this was like kind of his signature move. For the next 2 years, he goes over to Arizona, which is where he learns how to like ride and shoot and wrestle and all that shit. And he's jailed a couple times, but he escapes. I think on three separate occasions, he escapes from prison. So he's a slippery youth, right?
Is that who was guarding him? Johnson?
Lieutenant Johnson. Fucking Johnson. Yeah, Sheriff Johnson.
Can't never,
just can wasted out of his mind. Just yeah, yelling shit. Never.
No, I'm talking about the guy who let the Geronimo go three times.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying is maybe Johnson was just shit-faced all the time.
Yeah.
Which is why he was never able to be the good guardsman, you know? God no, damn it, Johnson.
I like to believe that Johnson is just a hap. A person with no they can't do anything.
Well, he's a veteran. He can kill people.
Can he? Has he killed anybody? Maybe that's Johnson. He never murdered anybody.
Maybe it was all lies.
I don't know.
August of 1877, the first person that Billy the Kid definitively killed occurs on that date. He gets into this fight with this guy, Francis P. Cahill, a.k.a. Windy. And he's kind of a bully toward Henry Antrim. They get into it, and Henry shoots him in the stomach, and he dies. And so there's a territorial grand jury. They're kind of having to decide if he's going to stand trial. But he bounces before they can convene, and Utley's kind of asking why. Like, there was a pretty good argument that he could have made for self-defense, but he doesn't even want to fuck with it. So he dips over to Lincoln County, New Mexico, in October of 77, where he falls in with the Jesse Evans gang, quote-unquote, whom they call the Boys.
Yeah. It's a
loose group of outlaws, and Henry begins to go under the alias, because he's ducking the law, William H. Bonney. And he also brings the nickname Kid back with him from Arizona. So he's not quite Billy the Kid yet, but he's getting there. And he's like running around with the gang. He's running around with the boys through October, like stealing horses, you know, shooting up towns and smuggling stolen cattle to this guy, James J. Dolan, who is the top merchant in Lincoln. He's got exclusive beef contracts with the Mescalero Apache Reservation as well as Fort Stanton. So he's making some coin. He's doing all right.
I mean, it's a one thing about that trial, if we're going to go a little bit back, is that they cannot convict you if you are not there.
If you're not there, if you just dip.
You got to dip. You just got to dip. Just dip.
No trial.
You can dip. Dip. Your girlfriend cannot yell at you if you are not there.
If you leave.
Dip.
Well, she could just FaceTime you, you can't really escape anymore.
Can't answer, not answering the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not there. Dip.
Turn your phone off. Just leave. Go to Mexico. Yeah. Why? I don't know. There's a real argument to people. Like, why didn't he? There are so many times. And apparently, he like spoke fluent Spanish too, and so many times that he's on the run from the law.
He just didn't go to Mexico.
And he just didn't. He just didn't take that step, man. And I'm like,
he likes that action, Doug.
But why?
He likes that action. Sometimes you just like that action.
All right, that's foolish. That's
but
that's how 18-year-olds think. So I'm like,
I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time.
I'm here for a good time.
He seems like one of those people that listen to country and says that all the time.
Yeah, that fits. And he died at 22. So
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Take it or leave it, I guess. So mid October of 1877, the Jesse Evans gang, the boys, they split up. And Billy Bonney, he's known at this time, Billy Bonney, he's staying at some guy's ranch. Jesse Evans and the other guys who went with him are arrested on the 17th for prior offenses and jailed in Lincoln because they stole some horses from this aspiring merchant, John H. Tunstall, who's an Englishman. And they're trying to establish their own. They're trying to get a piece of the pie, a piece of the beef pie. You know what I mean? Trying to get in on that market. And so Tunstall, he's got this alliance with this guy, Alexander McSween, who is the only lawyer in town. So a good guy to have on your side, right? And the rivalry between Tunstall and McSween and James J. Dolan is the primary beef in the Lincoln County. It's the beef. If you will.
The Lincoln County War. You know what I mean?
The Lincoln County War. Yes.
I constantly find myself fascinated by the mindset of like these kind of Wild West guys. It's just like, I don't know, man. Like they're just there. Like you were a kid, you saw all this stuff happen. There's kind of a glorification of the thing that's going on around you. And then you become part of the thing that's going on around you. An outlaw, a cowboy, a cattle rustler, kind of, you know, living a fast life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it just being in the place and in the time when like something's happening and like knowing like, oh, I'm this. Like it's very interesting to me. It's like almost like being like a Crip or a Blood in like the 90s, like the early 90s.
Yeah,
it's like so glorified that I'm like, this is I am this.
I don't know if they knew it was glorified yet, but they were certainly.
Dude, they're writing books about it at the time. And people are always talking about at the
That's
time.
True. That's true. You the got West like travel is, journals and stuff, but I think most of the, like, I know Catlin wrote all about his studies and stuff, but he didn't write so much about cowboys. He wrote about Native Americans and shit.
I'm pretty sure because you had what? Jesse James is killed.
In 82.
In 82.
Oh shit. Yeah. You're right. He's so famous. He would be hitting all the shit around. Okay. Yeah.
So these people are like the outlaws are famous. It's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're big things. And then now you've become ingratiated into this world
culture.
Bad men and sheriffs and outlaws and all this type of shit. And you're just like, you're in it. And it's like, it's almost you get swept up in the romanticism to where you're like, I don't want to go to Mexico and get out of it, even though that's another part of it.
Yeah.
But I want to stay in it. I don't know. That's I'm just
I want
thinking.
To stay.
Speculating.
I want to stay in the game. I want to die young. Maybe. I don't know.
It's the reason why you named your gang.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no reason to name your gang, don't have a name. Go
don't,
by many
yeah,
names.
Don't name your gang after you yourself.
Name,
yeah.
You name your gangs because you're like, yo, this is, I want to be known.
This is me.
They're going to know the boys.
They're going to know the boys, man. The boys. Yeah.
The boys are back in town.
The boys are back in town and they're here to rob your bank and shoot you probably.
And probably have sex with the Mexican women of the town.
Probably at one of those bylays, man.
One of those fandangos. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, damn it. I wish I had my other hand free.
Please don't. I don't want to hear you clap ever again.
Huh?
Okay. And it's still, your hands are so wet that your hands are so wet and slimy all the time that you can't even clap properly.
You're the slick.
All right.
So November of 1877, the boys spring Jesse Evans from jail. There's only like one guard. It's fucking Johnson. He's drunk, eating alphabet soup or whatever, and they spring Jesse Evans out. And they go to the ranch of Richard Brewer, or Dick Brewer, who is John Tunstall's foreman. And the gang splits up from here, but Billy Bonney stays with Tunstall, and he resumes life as a ranch hand on the ranch. I think his name is Frank Coe. So early December of 1877, Dick Brewer, signs Bonney onto the payroll of John Henry Tunstall. He's kind of an enforcer, a rustler, if you want to think of him like that. He's in his orbit. How the Lincoln County War pops off. In February of 1878, McSween, as the only lawyer, he's collected the money of a life insurance policy for Dolan, but he's withholding deliverance of that money until he gets his fee for, you know, organizing the whole thing because he's the only lawyer and he's officiating it. But Dolan wants his money first, and so he sues McSween for embezzlement. And the judge presiding over the case, he gives a writ of attachment to Dolan saying that Dolan and his posse could take from McSween's property to cover the amount embezzled by McSween.
Yeah.
So February 8th of 1878, Sheriff William Brady, who is Dolan aligned, he enters Lincoln, and he starts appraising and raiding Tunstall's store because he assumes that everything Tunstall has is also McSween's, and everything McSween has is also Tunstall's, so you can take Tunstall's shit, and it's covered by the writ that the judge gave you. Everything they had was joint. And so Tunstall and Dolan, they get heated because, you know, things are coming to a boiling point. So they meet, and Dolan says, like, hey, I need my money. If I don't get it, I'm going to impound your shit. And Tunstall's like, you're going to have to fucking fight for it if you want. And both sides start recruiting men. And they get, like, 50 to 60, I think, on both sides. So it's not, like, it's not small-scale shit entirely. It's not, like, huge, like a war, but for the size of the town, you got, like, 100 dudes running around trying to shoot each other. It's a... Not good, you know.
It's no, I this is like not rare in the in terms of the West. This is like happening all over the place. Like these disputes over capital, whether it be like land or whether it be water rights or whether it be salt lakes or something like that, or salt mines or some shit. This is happening all over the place, and then there's just like also fucking like I was saying before when we were talking, numerous groups of young men who like have PTSD and are war veterans just roaming because they don't feel like, because they saw the Civil War at its worst. They saw the Civil War and saw people get killed and were just like, oh, I only know how to kill people and I don't have a family and I'm a little bit of a drunk now. So what I'm going to do is just be a vagrant. And, I can ride horses. They start picking you up. They start, and like all the Westerns I've watched, it's always like the same thing. I just need a man of your particular skill set.
Yeah, it's crazy to think of like in, or the myth we've been sold about the West is that these guys are bringing civilization with them.
Yeah.
You know, these murderers are the civilizing agents that are going to settle the West,
They're bringing commodification. They're bringing commodities and commodification of the West to the West.
They're bringing capitalism with them, of course.
Even in that, they're like, it's kind of, they're like, it's different forms of capital fighting each other as far as like people who free range and like the big cattle drives and like the what we think of as cowboys. Them motherfuckers get cut off after like the 1880s. And then it's like people start putting up barbed wire. It's all about fucking ranchers versus these free grazers, and then they're fighting
these communist cowboys.
They used to call cowboys free, like in Texas, who were like free grazing and thought like water should belong to everybody. They used to call them communists. So that communist word has been thrown around a fucking lot.
It's pretty sick. It's pretty cool.
They throw that around every time you think something should be grouply owned.
Every time. That's not how we do it, man. Not in America, damn it. Come on.
My name is Mr. Smith. I bought this in Fort Worth, and it is mine. It's like, what? Who the fuck? We've been using this since... but that's how it goes. That's how it goes.
Around February 18th, 1878, Jesse Evans and two others, they kill Tunstall, and they kind of... They Utley speculates that they stage it to make it look like the shooting was in self-defense when it might or may not have been. And this is the opening move of Lincoln County War. Next day, McSween, Bonney, and Brewer go to the Justice of the Peace, this guy John B. Wilson, and they get warrants for the men who killed Tunstall and an additional one for Dolan, because why not? It can't hurt.
Yeah.
There's this Tunstall man, or this McSween man now, because he's kind of in charge now that Tunstall is dead, named Robert Weidenman, and he leverages the presence of U.S. troops there who are there ostensibly to keep the peace to serve the warrants for Dolan's men at Dolan's store. And so, but they're like outgunned once they walk through the door, and so Bonney ends up being jailed as he's trying to back up the guy serving the warrants.
Yeah.
So February 22nd, 1878, Dick Brewer, he becomes the new chief of this group that comes to be known as the Regulators. That's what like Bonnie and Brewer and McSween's forces call themselves. And it kind of, it has a connotation of like the modern connotation of like a vigilante. And so Brewer's new chief of the Regulators after McSween writes his will and bounces because he's afraid that he's going to get arrested for the whole embezzlement thing. And the Regulators, they're, or Brewer himself, I think, he's appointed by the Justice of the Peace as a special constable, quote-unquote, to serve the arrest warrants that were given to them. And so you've got the Dolan men, who are organized under Sheriff William Brady, have the backing of the district judge, while, you know, the Regulators, he's been appointed as a special constable by the Justice of the Peace. And so both factions are claiming to be an arm of the law and acting within the scope of the law. Both sides have warrants, all this shit. And so there's kind of like competing claims of legitimacy, not only in the market, but also in the judicial sphere.
This is, and if you know, if you're people like who's anybody listening to this is like a hip hop head, the Regulators, from like, the Nate Dogg and Warren G song, Regulators, that's the skit at the beginning of the movie is from the movie Young Guns, a 1988 Western, which is about Billy the Kids.
You can't just be
jock off the street. You gotta be smooth with a pistol. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that whole skit is a kind of a retell about Billy the Kid.
That's cool, man. I didn't know that. March 6th of 1878, the Regulators, including Bonnie, apprehend Billy Morton and Frank Baker, which are two of the guys who killed Tunstall, and rather than take him in for arrest, they just fucking riddle him with bullets and kill him and leave him in an unmarked grave. On the 9th of 78, the New Mexico governor, Samuel B. Axtell, who is sympathetic to Dolan and the Dolanites, he arrives in Lincoln just as McSween is coming out of hiding. And Axtell, the governor, he says that Wilson is not recognized as Justice of the Peace. So, and that's like who the Regulators were acting under the aegis of. Yeah. McSween's men are no longer recognized as an instrument of the law. And so they're now open to counter arrest because they've been delegitimized.
Because it's the thing that like, I guess if we have a lot of information as people now, like that we know that maybe previous generations weren't as aware of. Like the government can go any which way depending on whoever has funded these people. Uh-huh. And like specifically in the West, you see this shit a lot where it's like,
it's boiled down to its bones of just like, I have money, I have influence, I have power. Yeah. I can give you some of this money if you do what I tell you to do. And it's like, done.
I own this state. I own this county. I own this. Mm-hmm. I own this because I have the most cattle here.
Oh, you're the governor? Cool. Means nothing to me.
Nothing to me.
All right.
Absolutely nothing.
I'm John. I'm the fucking man. All right.
Think you're gonna run for governor next in 4 years? Think how that's gonna work out. Mm-hmm. And you lose because you don't have the backing. You have the blessing.
You don't have my support.
It's very similar to how things are nowadays.
Yes.
But like it's almost how things have always been. Other than, I would say, a couple of times.
Only now we just have more paperwork. All right. Less paperwork. Put in a pack. I don't know.
It wasn't even civilized back then. They didn't have to put it into a pack.
You come into a meeting and the guy's always smoking a cigar. You know, let me tell you how this is going to work, okay?
Yeah, just a dude who... It's weird because, like, a lot of times, I don't know if it's, like, the racism, but, like, in these Westerns, I've been watching a shit ton of Westerns recently. It's always Irish guys. They always talk about how...
Yeah.
It's always just some Irish guy, like, some... McCapellany. He's just like, I run everything around here.
McIntosh.
Yeah, just listen to me here, boy. Like, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. very, like, they just came from the old world to also oppress the new world, which is weird because they're Irish.
Yeah.
But it's not really, it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing I've picked up on.
Yeah. So April 1st of 1878, Sheriff Brady and some of the Dolanites are walking down the street singing "Do Why Diddy Diddy Dum Diddy Do," right?
Okay. I don't think they were doing that, but okay.
They're about to, like, I think they're gonna like serve a warrant, or they were like notifying somebody of a change of a court date. And as they're walking down the street, they're ambushed by Bonnie and some of the other regulators, in which the sheriff dies. Sheriff Brady is killed. Some say by Billy Bonnie or Billy the Kid. Some say that it was somebody else's gun who hit him. He was still involved. What Bonnie does is he scampers out of hiding and into the street to either recover his rifle or the arrest warrant for McSween himself. And he's like reaching inside of inside of Brady's like breast pocket or whatever to get the papers, but he's not able to get them because the Dolan man, he's like, I think he's on a roof somewhere, and he shoots Bonnie right in the leg, but it's a non-fatal wound, but he goes like limping back and goes and gets medical help. April 4th of 1878, there's another shootout at this place, Blazer's Mills. There's a death of this guy, Andrew Buckshot Roberts, after a gunfight with both Brewer and Bonnie. And Brewer and a few other regulators are killed. They're basically on the run, and they were trying to cajole Roberts into not giving up, but just letting them stay there. And he's like, I can't let you do that. You guys are criminals. And so, when Roberts is killed. And there's like a rumor that starts spreading that they're going to kill the judge and everybody else. Like, they're going to fucking kill... They're going to cut the heads, all their heads off. Like, there's going to be blood in the streets, you know?
What are the options do they have? You're now on the other side of the law, and you know that the law isn't going to, there's no way it's going to work for you because you were on the other side of the law, and you were the people, and now they're coming for you, and they seem to be showing no mercy.
Yeah,
And they just shot your boss.
Uh-huh.
Shot him, like, and they don't give a fuck. So, yeah, no.
What are you going to do? You're backed into a corner, you know? Your options are limited.
And all you got is two six-shooters and a Winchester 73.
And a bad attitude.
Yeah. Like what like Clint Eastwood says in Unforgiven. It's like, this is a spoiler alert. Shoots a man and they're like, you just shot an unarmed man. And he's like, should have armed himself then. Fantastic.
I guess. That's solid.
Yeah.
So late April and May of 78, violence erupts in Lincoln between the Dolanites and the regulators. And in the heat of the battle, the heat of things, Bonnie and some of the other regulators dip. They go June and July of 78, they're in San Patricio. They all fail to appear before a grand jury to examine the murder of Buckshot Roberts. And so they are all subsequently indicted for murder. So now they're really on the run. They got, like, the warrants are piling up, you know. And this is around when this guy, Tom O'Foliar, joins the party. He's 2 years younger than Billy the Kid, and he absolutely idolizes him. He's like, you're my fucking hero, dude. I love you. I love you.
What's up with these weird sycophant dudes that come around?
I don't know.
That's weird. It's a weird, because that's something I'm realizing about a lot of Western heroes or whatever. They also get these motherfuckers who are like, just will not get off their dicks.
Yeah.
And are just around just being like, hey.
Yeah. What's up, man?
What's up, man? I just want to be. It's like.
I just want to hang out. You know, I just want to hang out with you, you know.
What Jesse James or, I don't know, Brad Pitt says in that Jesse James movie. Where it's just like, what I'm afraid about is I don't know if you want to be like me or you want to be me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm scared about.
Yeah. during that movie, I could tell that, that was very personal for Brad Pitt, you know, acting with all these people. I could tell it's like, oh, you're saying it as if you were Jesse James, but that's all.
No, it's all it's Pitt. Yeah. No,
you know, you've lived Brad, that, right?
Yeah, like, I don't know if you want. It's yeah. Mm-hmm. That is the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford.
But you got to get the whole thing in there, yeah.
It's a great title.
It's a great title.
It's a super long movie, but a great movie.
It's very good. Mid-July of 78, McSween's men are under siege in his properties. They're surrounded by the Dolanites, and Bonnie and the other regulators end up holed up in McSween's home. I really like this anecdote. While this is going on, there's a Dolanite deputy that like knocks on the door, and he shouts that they've got warrants, and all the regulators need to surrender because of these warrants that they have for the regulators. And McSween's like, well, we also have warrants for all of you guys, all right? And the deputy, he demands to see them. And one of the regulators, this guy, Big Jim French, says, this is a direct quote, he says, our warrants are in our guns, you cocksucking sons of bitches.
Yeah, yeah. West. It's nice. Out west.
Right after that, you know? Ready to go.
You got, mm-hmm. Now you got to shoot people. This is
there's no peaceful resolution.
Yeah, now you don't come like, hey, guys, I think we should calm down. Like, that doesn't happen after that.
No, there's all they don't know how to resolve anything. Yeah. They just resolve it with the smoke of a 45, you know?
PTSD are raised by people. They have PTSD.
Raised by people with
PTSD, or they have PTSD. Like, they have no understanding. It's a PTSD world.
There's probably a lot of liquor involved as well.
Liquor, so like, PTSD. Yeah.
Just a crazy time.
Yeah. And a weird honor system after, like, dueling. Mm-hmm. Like, when all mm-hmm. that's how you get the West.
Yeah, it's it's a wild time.
Yeah.
McSween's property, his home gets lit on fire, and there's, like, a big shootout in the end, and, like, the, you know, his house is on fire and everything. And Bonnie escapes with some of the other regulators. So the rest of the year, August through December of 78, the regulators are, like, hamstrung, basically, after this, and they're disintegrating. And Bonnie and O'Foliar, they are stealing horses from ranches, like the Mescalero agency as well. And Bonnie pops over to the Texas Panhandle for a little bit to sell some of those stolen horses, because it's, like, booming at the time. And he's like, there's money to be made. Let's go over there. February to March of 1879, this is when Bonnie and O'Foliar are back in Lincoln, and Bonnie, he, for the moment, squashes his beef with Dolan. They've got a night of drunken revelry in which a man named Huston Chapman is killed, and the new governor, this guy named Lew Wallace, he hears of the killing, and he is determined to reinforce law and order, right? Law and order governor, okay? And he mobilizes the army. The army's, like, given a list of wanted men, and they start rounding them up and hauling them in. Mid-March of 79, Billy Bonney, he sends Governor Wallace a message saying that he would testify against Dolan and Evans and the others in the killing of Chapman. And so he is arrested under false charges, but things fall apart whenever Wallace, he dips out to go to Las Vegas, New Mexico, I think. Yeah. And at the time, he promised protection to Billy the Kid, but Wallace couldn't guarantee immunity from prosecution, as he did in their initial meeting, without agreement from the prosecuting attorney. So he's kind of been left high and dry, Billy the Kid has. Mm. March through June of 1879, there's, like, a storm of legal proceedings. Bonnie is testifying against the Dolanites, who are mostly unpunished due to just weird shit, like a change of venue or whatever. And the prosecutor still wants to nail Bonnie for the murder of Sheriff Brady. And so June of 1879, Billy the Kid, he feels betrayed, basically. Wallace has left him, like, high and dry, like I said. And so he rides out of Lincoln, and he lays low in Las Vegas, New Mexico for a little bit. He's doing some gambling. Apparently he was, like, really good at Monty. And Utley says in the book that he may have rubbed shoulders with an incognito Jesse James at the time.
Did you know Jesse James, like, went all the way to, like, his, like, had a ranch in California?
Really?
Like, he went, yeah, like, apparently he had lay low spots, like, fucking everywhere.
Damn. I mean, I saw that on one of his itineraries, it's like that he hit a bank in Minnesota. And I was like, that's far from Missouri, I guess. But he was prolific. Like,
he crosses from, like, out of outlaw life status into, like, weird, like, rebellion leader status. Like, he's not on, like, because see that all that Knights of the Golden Circle shit. All right, we're talking about Jesse James later.
Yes,
but, like, Three Card Monty is the most, like, I am from New York fucking thing that he could be, that Billy the Kid could be good at.
Yeah,
like, which one is it under? Like, I can see him in fucking Manhattan as, well, he wasn't there for long as a child, but, like, one, like, going back, like, yeah. Just, you know, fucking in the Irish slums of Manhattan, just fucking
watching people play, figuring it out, you know, immersed in it. And so first late game. 1879, 1880, Bonnie, he's, like, running around Fort Sumner, New Mexico. It's the same old. There's a loose gang formed, but Bowder and O'Foliar are two of the names that frequently recur, because it's like a loose gang. You know, people are kind of popping in and out. So they run a rustling fraternity from around, like, White Oaks and Lincoln, which is, like, New Mexico and Texas. They're, you know, stealing cattle and selling them to whoever's willing to pay for it. And throughout 1880, Bonnie starts saying that John Chisholm, who was also involved in the Lincoln County War and aligned with McSween, Billy the Kid's saying that Chisholm owes him wages for his services during the Lincoln County War, mm-hmm. which is kind of crazy. Like, it kind of, he's kind of just making a problem where there doesn't need to be one. I mean, he needs money, obviously, or he wants money at the very least. But he says, if you're not going to pay me, I'm just going to start stealing cattle from your ranches. And that's what he does. And he would just sell that stolen cattle to somebody else.
It's he's a thief, and he understands, like, even with, like, thieves, there's, like, this weird thing under, like, you still have to, like, we still have an honor among us. Like, uh-huh. I know I'm stealing, and we've been, like, involved in this whole, like, basically gang war uh-huh. in New Mexico.
Yeah.
But on our side, we're not fucking each other over, because that's why I did all this shit for you.
Uh-huh.
Like, I would also feel kind of fucked over, because, like, bro, well, I just put my life on the line for your shit, and I'm a marked man and cannot live a decent life because I have a writ on me. For
just go to fucking Mexico, though. That's what I'm saying.
No, and some people didn't want to do that. I really think a lot of these Western guys, they were in love with the life and like the notoriety, but some weren't. Some didn't give a fuck. Some would just dip to Mexico whenever.
Yeah,
they didn't even give a fuck. But some people stayed just in their area, because they knew all the people around them, and they knew that this was a place that they could exist as a thing rather than as a nobody.
They're like part of a unique experience, like wanted a slice of history, I guess, and they got it. Part of me also wonders, like, if, you know, you got Geronimo running around Mexico and New Mexico and Arizona at this time, if they ever, like, pass each other. That's just kind of me being romantic, but it would be cool.
I think they definitely like, probably, you know what I mean? From what it seems like to me is, like, the great Native Wars end in, like, the late 1860s, early 1870s, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, past that, it's, like, there are trails, and there are, like, certain areas you just don't go down because you know that's where the Comanches, that's where the, like,
that's where you get, that's where Danes, you get
the Comanches are. Yeah, so they, like, they just stay to the other part, and they're usually fine, other than when they get in, like, oh, I'm running from the law, and then I'm in the Comanche area, or Comanche area, get fucked over.
That would be hilarious. If just like I'm running, I need to go down this trail, and then you just stumble across a band of Apaches who are like white man.
A band of Apaches who just never surrendered and just like have an immense hatred of white, Hispanic, anybody lighter than them.
Just like, well, shit, black people, you know?
Anybody who's not Apache. These motherfuckers, like,
just caught in the crosshairs, man. You can't win.
No, I've been reading, and when I read, and I was like, man, you know, at least when they're going to be light on black men. Nope. Not light on black people.
September of 1880, the U.S. Treasury gets whiff that someone in the Lincoln and White Oaks area is using counterfeit banknotes. And so they send this Secret Service guy, D.C. sends this Secret Service guy to New Mexico, Azariah F. Wild, to investigate. And so he's got, like, Billy the Kid and his boys. They've got two groups trying to take them down. You've got the Texas cattlemen. They've hired a group because he was stealing cattle from all these cattle guys in the Texas Panhandle. They've got their own posse on the hunt for him. And now you've got the feds on top of them. So it's not looking good, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, see, this is the thing. I just say, man, he's on the living that life. And I've been listening to a lot of country.
Uh-huh.
He's in that life. It's just, I'm a highwayman, you know? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I'm just on that highway, just going from place to place. You know, selling my wares, doing a little legal things.
Uh-huh. Just living it.
Just living that life somewhere between New Mexico and Texas. Just, I don't know.
Floating around.
Like, there's no going back. Like, there's no going. You can go to Mexico.
You could.
Like,
you could. You could just
But
dip.
There's no going back to a regular life because people, like, it's, you are.
You miss the adrenaline.
Even though Mexico is, like, base, nigga.
That's what I'm saying. You get down there, and it's like they can't touch you. They're not going to go look for you down there. Like,
Mexico and the U.S. don't really have a – they're, like, their relationship, from my understanding, isn't this not that friendly during this time. Mm-mm. It's like, all right. It's like – but they're not going out of the way to export niggas.
Has it ever been good?
I don't. I mean, NAFTA that year that happened, there must have been some good.
It was like okay.
Yeah, like
not shitty for a year.
I mean,
year,
it's
I
okay
guess.
For it's okay for one party sometimes. I don't know about the other party. As far as like they're wealthy people there. Yeah, it's
yeah.
Probably great for them, but like other than that,
it's
not
it's
like not in the you know, not the peasants.
Yeah,
not the peasants.
December of 1880, how Billy the Kid becomes a nationally known name. There's this guy, W.S. Kugler, who is the proprietor of the Las Vegas Gazette, and he is tired of the crime that has erupted in New Mexico. So he writes a letter to Governor Wallace and publishes a piece in his paper talking about the powerful criminal gang in New Mexico, quote, under the leadership of Billy the Kid. And the news spreads nationally. As far away of New York, now everybody knows his fucking name, right? Or at least his an alias of an alias, if you want to think of it like that. The net's closing in, though. Like, he's surrounded on all sides. You got the two different groups looking for him. Tom O'Folliard is killed. Charlie Bowder is killed in various ambushes, but he's still holding out, right?
I don't know, man. It's a weird thing where like they'll publicize you as if you're this bad guy, but then you catch like wildfire where everybody knows your name and everybody loves you. And I'm pretty sure there was a depression in the late 1880s or something like that.
I know in 1873 there was one.
Yeah, like I know in the 1890s there's like a something happens with the fucking money, the currency system, and that's like you get the Populist Party, which is all like farmers from Kansas and shit. But like people like want, when there's like economic shit or this, they feel kind of fucked up, especially in America, where if you're disenfranchised or you're like low, you kind of want that shit. You want like, you want somebody to take it.
Yeah.
And you see somebody taking it. Yeah. And like, yeah. That's
dope. You see somebody rebelling of like, it doesn't have to be like, this is a broken system and this man is spitting in the face of it. So fuck yeah, I'm on his side. You know, you guys are incompetent. You guys are idiots. You guys have fucked this country up and this guy's taking it to you, you know,
but also
that can get real out. That can get real out of hand real quick. Whenever you got weirdos trying to storm the Capitol, you know,
it's extreme capitalism. It's like not capital, but like it's extreme. Like it's, you know, what's the kind of, we have a lot of these stories about like people working hard and taking what they wanted through hard work. Well, I can also just take what I want through putting a fucking 73, that Winchester 73.
Yeah, I could just put this gun in your fucking face and you're gonna give it to me, and I don't have to work. Like fuck
yeah,
it, you know,
yeah,
why would
yeah,
I?
Yeah, yeah.
And so Howie finally gets caught, at least for the moment. December 23rd of 1880, he's holed up in a home. He's kind of like starved out. The sheriff, this guy named Patrick Garrett or Pat Garrett, lures him out with promises of a good square meal. It's also a good square meal, son. We'll get you a good square meal. And negotiated by Billy the Kid, protection, because he's testified against some people you don't want to necessarily testify against. And so he's taken to Las Vegas, New Mexico, imprisoned, and he starts writing to Governor Wallace. He's like, hey, remember when I testified against Jesse Evans and some of the other Dolanites? Remember that whole agreement that we had and how you kind of fucked me over and left me high and dry? Can you help me? And at one point, he kind of like threatens to blackmail him a little bit. And so that's what sends Wallace. That's what permanently alienates Wallace. He's like, all right, I don't give a fuck what happens to you.
You can't never trust the guys at the top.
No.
That's the thing. That's a flaw right there.
Yeah.
Can't trust the guys on top because you're doing all this shit to like, if, I don't know, man. You can't trust the guys on top. You can't trust they're going to get you out of a situation.
Well, I mean, especially like if they're the ones with the power and you're the one who's beseeching a favor, I don't think that's somebody you want to blackmail unless you've got good dirt. Unless you've got good dirt. You know, this was kind of like some flimsy shit. You got to have like, hey, I have you getting into a car with a known prostitute. All right.
You
I
have to, you
or whatever.
You have to have like the massacre that got him land.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You got to have the dirt on how he actually got what he got by like poisoning children in fucking Oklahoma or
all
some
that
shit.
Shit.
Like you got to really get how people, you got to fuck them over.
Uh-huh.
You know, rich people got a lot of dirt on them.
Get the real. I've got dirt. You at the site of the Sand Creek Massacre with your thumbs up. All right, I got a photo of you.
I got a photo of you.
Yeah, I've never seen you happier than with 20 scalps in your hand in this photo. Okay, yeah, come on.
I got a photo of you running a brothel. Everybody loved the brothel.
Everybody. That's not much. Man.
Everybody. You know, sex work. You know, sex work is work.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, come on.
March 28th of 81. He is moved to face counterfeit charges in Mesilla, which is southern New Mexico, and he ends up going to trial for the murder of Andrew Buckshot Roberts way back when, and it's a federal charge because it occurred on the Mescalero Reservation. However, he's got a pretty good public defender, this guy Ira Leonard. On April 5th of 81, he reverses Bonnie's plea of not guilty and says and starts to argue that there's a lack of federal jurisdiction since the shooting occurred on private property, and which was not technically part of the reservation. And so the judge, he dismisses the case because he doesn't really want to touch that one, but directs Billy the Kid to be handed into the custody of territorial authorities, where on the 13th of April, he is convicted of first-degree murder, sentenced to be hung by the neck on May 13th. April 28th of 81, Bonnie... They're moving all of the prisoners over to this hotel so they can eat. And Bonnie tells his captor he's got to use the bathroom, right? So they send one guy with Billy the Kid. He goes up the flight of stairs and he slips his hands out of the cuffs at the top because he's got thin wrists or small hands. And he hits the guard over the head with the other cuff, wrestles his pistol out of his holster and shoots the guard and one other guard and makes his escape. He gets a horse, he gets help from some friends, and then heads to Fort Sumner because he knows he's got more friends there and he's gonna keep it going, man. He's not going gently into that good night. All right,
you love to see it. Rich people get away with all their crimes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All this cat, you know, fucking they've climbed the ranks and all, they've done all these crimes also.
Yep,
a lot of crimes done by the rich. You love to see, well, the death of that man is unfortunate.
that is
unfortunate. Those two guys, unfortunate.
I'm sorry.
But you love to see an escape. You love to see an underdog get out of there.
That's right, man. This is our guy, and he's back on the run. He's back and murdered. And now I'm saying, now that you've been sentenced to death,
no,
go to fucking Mexico, dude. Nah, like it's dog. Right. It's right. You're in Mesilla, isn't he? Or he's going to Fort Sumner. He was charged in Mesilla. That's like it's right there. Like it's
let me
right
tell you,
there.
Let me you tell just, you. Let me.
You just got to pop. Pop
let
over.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about the West, son. I ain't never ran before, and I never gonna run again. I ain't never gonna run ever. I ain't fuck that up. But like, no, he was in it. Like, it's a romanticism.
Yeah.
No, it's a romanticism where you're like, I'm here. I'm gonna stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know about Mexico, even though I speak the language and love the women.
Yes.
What do I really know?
Uh-huh. And I know all the dances, and I frequently wear a sombrero, and I'm probably pretty tan. Like, come on, just like. Or Arizona or Texas. Maybe that's where he was trying to get. No, I don't know what his plans were. Right?
No. Don't go to Texas. They're fucking.
They're also on the hunt for you. Yeah.
Crazy people. Also, like, well, and also you've been doing dirt in Texas the whole time, also.
Yeah.
New Mexico and Texas.
Yeah.
No, yeah. They're just the romanticism. I'm going to go out here. Because ain't nobody stopped Billy the goddamn Kid.
Oh, but they did.
They did. But they do.
They did. On July 10th of 1881, he's staying at a private ranch outside of Fort Sumner. It's owned by the Maxwell family. And he's pretty hungry. And he sees that there's some meat that's been left to dry on the porch. So he figures he'll hop the fence and go grab that meat and cook it up and... You know, stomach will stop rumbling or whatever. However, the sheriff and his posse have been tracking him down. They've posted up inside of the house and they like see him on the porch and it's like very close quarters stuff. Before a shootout can occur, Sheriff Garrett shoots him like around a corner and everything. And he dies that night on the run. How he gets popularized, how the image of Billy the Kid gets, the seed gets planted in our imagination of this guy robbing stagecoaches, which he never really did, or robbing trains, he never robbed a train or any of that stuff. It was promulgated by this guy, Marshall Ashman Upson is his name. Ashman Upson, Marshall's his title. his journalist who moves into the area, and Pat Garrett, he basically wants to clear his name about the shooting because it's like, you didn't know who you were shooting, technically. And he's like, I knew it. It was him. And it's like, how did you know, though? And so he wants to tell his side of the story. And Upson, he doesn't know Billy the Kid. He doesn't really have a whole lot of information about his early life. And so filling in all of the details up until that point, he just makes the shit up, basically, based on what he read in the tabloids and whatever the muses brought to him. Huh?
Yeah, it's a when we talk about the West and the legends mm-hmm. that come with the West, mm-hmm. I think can best be said in how journalism acts in the West. Other stories, I think it best can be summed up by. There's a quote at the end of The Man Who Shot Liberty Vance, which is a great Western with Jimmy Stewart.
I think it's on Hulu. Wayne. I'm going to watch it soon. I think it's on Hulu.
They have a very racist Sambo character in there.
Okay.
Black person just, oh, come on, boss. Like, that's okay. It's very fucked up.
I'm ready for it.
It's very fucked up.
I don't want to see it, but I'm glad you brought it up movie. So I know it's what good, to expect. That's what
it's
I'm
It's a good movie. Other than that, that shit is wild. He can't read. Like, the dude, John okay. Wayne won't let him go to school.
No it's favors.
It's like, John Wayne won't let him go to school. For some reason, he does whatever John Wayne says. It's a weird thing. All right.
Okay.
But other than that, at the end, I think you can sum up the legends of the West by what the newspaper editor says at the end. He goes, look, he says, this is the West, sir. When it comes to legend, when legends become fact, you print the legend.
That's right. Yeah, I have heard. Yeah.
So they print the legend.
You print the legend, man. That's what they did.
And then the legend, the legend becomes the record, and people mm-hmm. pick up the legend, and then they add to that legend. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens with all these Western people that we know. Yeah. They're actually not that crazy. They haven't killed that many people.
No,
but we keep adding on to it.
Utley says because Billy the Kid did participate in like numerous raids in the Lincoln County War and everything. Utley says. What you can, the amount of killings prior to his trial, you can attribute to him, exclusively to him, two.
Yeah.
Wendy Cahill and I think Brady.
Yeah.
I don't know how he knows definitively. He says two. I don't know if it was Brady. I know Wendy Cahill for sure and one other.
Yeah.
But two at most, which is crazy to think. And then the two guards on top of that. But you think Billy the Kid, I think like a fucking... Like 30, you know? No, I think this guy killed everybody, you know? But it's like four, maybe.
They say Bass Reeves. Four
and some change.
They say Bass Reeves like is like one of the top, like now they've looked at the record and he's like one of the top gunfighters. Hmm. And his conservative estimate is 14.
Hmm.
And that's, and like when we think about it, we think like, oh, that's light shit. That's what they always used to do.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't think these people... went around like trying to murder people most of the time.
Okay.
Well, that Joel Glanton gang, that Joel Glanton gang, the Glanton gang Apache scalp hunters that the Mexican government paid to Chihuahua paid to hunt Apaches, they killed thousands of Apaches, and it was only like 30 of them. they had hundreds of bodies.
Hmm.
Those people were insane. Like. But unless you were like involved in like a purge of a, like you're almost a militia.
Yeah.
If you're just like a sheriff, you didn't actually kill that many people.
No.
From my understanding.
Yeah. But you did in the Civil War that you served in uh-huh. before you were the sheriff. So
the actual bodies, a lot of them come from the state actions that are taking place
mm-hmm.
in the West. The massacres at Sand Creek.
Yeah, for sure. You know the Sand Creeks and the Wounded Knees. And the Washitas and all those,
Texas's war on basically on Tejanos and like Juan mm-hmm. Cortino's war, and like that's where the bodies are actually. But we like to talk about the gunfighters because that's we don't want to talk about
because these guys are criminals. These guys are criminals.
We're talking about the state action that mm-hmm. was just mm-hmm. wiping out peoples. But okay, but that's the genocides. All right,
but we already talked about those in the prior.
Now we're doing gunfight. Now we're doing gunfighters. Yeah. All right. Well, Henry, thank you for doing that research. That was Billy the Kid Gods. Please like, share, subscribe this episode. Just subscribe to all our stuff. Actually, what are we doing next week?
Next week, we're talking about another outlaw, somebody who did hit stagecoaches and trains.
Yeah.
The one, the only, Jesse James.
But can we? My whole, and I'm gonna tell you right now what my thesis is for next episode. It is point blank. I like Jesse James. I don't like Jesse James actually.
No,
but I don't really care just because like I further don't care because it's all around Kansas City.
Yeah.
It's in Missouri.
And his cause was all just like the lost cause of the South, and not to be admired, you know. But
he is a dude, Knights of the Golden Circle, weirdo, like
gorilla shit.
We're gonna rise again. Yeah. Like he is purely that.
It's the epitome of that. I can't help but want to say his name. Like whenever I hear, I'm just like. Yeah. Jesse James, you know, Jesse James.
There's no I'm just a outlaw living the life. No, that motherfucker is about that.
It's crazy.
What stars and bars?
Yes, right.
Then the Confederate. Yeah. Don't they do that for the stripes? I don't know. Fuck it. But yeah, it's about the Confederacy. But guys, please like, follow, subscribe,
rate, review, all of our social, share all that,
all of our social media. Please follow us at Hardfire History on Instagram and Facebook. Follow us at HFH Podcast on Twitter. Follow us at Hardfire History on YouTube. Please subscribe on YouTube. Follow us. Please rate, review, and all the stuff on iTunes. What else? What am I missing? Oh, also Twitch us. We have a Twitch. Do all the stuff. Thank you guys. Mm-hmm. Oh, also my social media. Joshua B. Stokes on Instagram and Twitter, and Joshua Stokes on Facebook. Henry, what's yours?
I'm just Henry E. Price on Instagram, just Henry Price on Facebook.
Again, guys, I want to thank you guys for listening. Please follow us on everything, subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, peace.